Ancient Faith Radio now presents Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Here, Orthodox Christians will come to better understand and relate to the not-yet-Orthodox. And the not-yet-Orthodox will find comfort and insights that will encourage them to finally and fully embrace the ancient Christian faith. Here's Jeff with today's broadcast.
And welcome back to Approaching the Wardrobe. Today's topic is very interesting because the topic is weddings. As we explored in the previous podcast, romance is a wonderful thing given by God as a gift for us to keep pure and enjoy, and allow to be that image of Christ and his bride that it was meant to be. Now, there's some innate tension when Orthodox go to other people's weddings because of the level of the sacramental beauty that the Orthodox have in the actual marriage ceremony. It's hard to go to something that is really, really watered down, seeming to us, having some very weak or shallow things related to God involved. Maybe God is just mentioned. Maybe a couple scriptures are read, some jokes are told, and then there's all this other stuff and music and everything, and that's it. And then a party. And maybe these things are annoying to those who long for deeper, richer things. But even outside of the beautiful Orthodox ceremony and sacrament of marriage, there are different levels of sacramental beauty in the wedding ceremony. And that's why we also accept marriages outside of the Orthodox Church, of course. And some groups, I believe a lot of the Greek Orthodox world will still want to do a ceremony with a couple who comes to Orthodoxy who are already married as more of a blessing. We were considering it where it's really more of those anointings and blessings from the sacramental world of the liturgy, where messed up evil things inside of us get purged under the prayers and the sacrament. If you want to explore the actual Orthodox wedding ceremony, Father Alexander Schmemann has a book called The Sanctification of Life, I believe, where he goes through the various sacraments of the Orthodox Church, of which there are no real limit or number to. But Father John Finley, in singing the triumphal hymn, goes through the marriage ceremony in the Orthodox Church, the incredible depth of it in the Sanctification of Life series, in singing the triumphal hymn by Father John Finley in the podcast on Ancient Faith, Part 7. The Sanctification of Life, Part 7, I believe he deals with this. So, getting back to this concept of weddings outside of the Orthodox Church here. A few days back, it was finally time to go to someone's wedding. We were invited to. So, if you knew the people closely or whatever, you're thinking about it for many days sometimes or even longer before the event. Well, this week was tricky because we were all pretty busy and stressed out near the end of a school semester. We have a son graduating, hopefully, and other things going on, big ballet performances that our girls are in, all within these last couple of weeks here of the month. My wife has things she's out and going to, and she needs me to pick up a girl and bring her to the wedding at a certain time, and if I'm not 5 minutes early, she's going to be standing around talking to all these people with small talk who she hasn't seen for years and won't be able to really catch up with. It's going to be a horribly awkward moment. She will be a little bit annoyed by the time I get there if I'm late. So guess what happens? I'm upstairs getting my final dress clothes on, and all of a sudden I realize that my black belt is missing. So, as some of you guys may be able to relate to, you start going on a fury through your closet and then through other closets. I ended up in my boy's bedroom, who had a prom a week before, trying to find this black belt. All kinds of other thoughts and anger and things are stirring up inside of me because I'm going to be late for this wedding as well. And then you see your boy's messy room, and he's 18, and if he's going to live here, he's not going to leave his room like this, etc. So here I am, and I fly up to get my girl, who'd been standing outside the ballet studio with her wedding attire on, to attend the wedding in a dress and everything outside the ballet studio, which she got out of class early to be there waiting for me, and don't be late, we told her, and there she is, probably spent 15, 20 minutes standing there for me, and I get there, and we fly down to the wedding, and sure enough, my wife's out there, and it's one of those outdoor weddings at a really neat old historic place. Sure enough, we pull up, we get out, she's giving me that smile. She's not mad, though. She's quite graceful. But you could tell it was uncomfortable for her. And we walk in, and the entire curved half circle of people sitting out on this lawn on plastic chairs, well, we come in right along the side of that, so everyone doesn't even have to turn around to see us entering. Luckily, nothing had started yet. There was just music playing, a couple of people straggling in, so it was no big deal. But you can imagine my state of mind as I'm sitting down, and there's several people here and there who I haven't seen for years, who maybe I was a part of leading their youth ministry, or just some adults who we had known from this past church, etc., etc. So there's, you know, there's kind of this awkwardness. Half of them probably know, the ones who knew us, know that we're Orthodox now, but they don't know what to make of that. All these things are going on, and here I am at a wedding sitting there and trying to catch my breath. And you know how hard it is to not start judging things that are Christian outside of the Orthodox world once you've tasted the beauty of it. Here it is, a dear, sweet family who we love and have always loved, who we've been somewhat estranged from for several years after moving to a couple states and things and coming back here for the last 4 years. Well, it's their daughter. And so there's all these tensions going on, and weddings themselves are this big consummation of everything that you bring to it and everything that everyone else brings to it. And the time afterwards, of course, has all kinds of relational dynamics that can go on. Finally, the music is playing, and I'm trying hard to focus in on the beautiful moment this is for the couple. This is a Christian young couple, wonderful couple. And here I am trying to fight off a judgmental spirit, which really at this point should have had no place in my mind or heart. As time goes on, there's a different pastor than someone I knew. It was a younger pastor who probably the groom. It was his pastor, and it's probably where they go to church and stuff. You know, he says a couple nice things, tells a couple little things to make people chuckle, and blah, 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 reads a couple scriptures, says a couple nice things. It's all kind of a jolly, happy little time. My mind at this particular wedding was a little distracted at times. I didn't quite notice as alertly as I should have the vows that were being spoken by the bride and the groom. My wife reminded me here that if I'm going to mention a specific wedding or talk about it, I need to highlight the beauty of the vows that were given in this wedding in the lives of our friends. I do not specifically remember what was said, but I do know that making vows to the Lord in the presence of others is a very serious and beautiful thing. As it says in the Psalms, and in Psalm 76 or 77, make your vows to the Lord and fulfill them, and let all bring gifts to him who is to be feared. Or another translation, vow and fulfill to the Lord your God. All shall bring offerings to he who is to be feared. And in Psalm 50, sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High. And really a wedding scenario like this, where the vows are being given to God and witnessed by other believers, these are beautiful, sacred things. Hopefully from the heart, completely from the will and desires of the person giving them. I can say that it was burdening my heart that somehow we are not really giving the full sanctity of the moment an expression in the physical world in a wedding of this form. I'm sure we do to various degrees, but there was just so much missing. There wasn't a prayer at the end. It was more of a song. You know, a song came on over the speakers again, and that was kind of fun and chirpy and stuff. And I don't mean to say that there wasn't complete prayer and devotion to God and this wasn't a sacred moment going on, because I believe it was. I really, truly believe it was. But the tension was that you know that it's so much holier than we could express. And I am totally convinced one of the reasons why in the Orthodox world, and I believe even in the Western Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, they require weddings to be in the sanctuary and around the altar and things, is because it keeps and preserves the sense that this is completely before God, and that's what this is all about, before God and people, and it doesn't allow any room for people to let God get out of the spotlight of the event and just focus on the dresses and the pretty flowers around in the trees and the nice area this is to have a wedding in and stuff. our minds can travel so far that we need to keep the sacred moment of the sacrament in the most holiest place we can find around our area, and that is at the altar of Christ, where there's the bread and the wine that gets sanctified every week, prayers and the chants, and everything is devoted to God in complete holiness. And so this is the tension. And after that time in the fellowship time, I was really trying to focus now on specific, maybe God encounters that God would bring about with just the right people. There's such a potential for just small talk with people you don't even really want to talk to or catch up with, and then you go home, and we were already dreading this and clenching our hands almost trying to decide whether to stay or go. And yet God brought us to just the right couple people here and there who we could just love and try to be a blessing to and share some happiness with. And I saw the bride and told her, you know, this was a beautiful wedding, and that we wish them all the blessings and for God's protection and love on them. And what struck me during this time as I was wrestling with my thoughts and motives is that this is right where those people are in their walk with God. As happens so often, my wife reminded me of this the next morning when we were trying to process everything together. She has this way of telling me what I already know I should be thinking. And it happened here. We hadn't even been able to talk since the wedding until the next day. And she said, you know, this is right where they are at, and therefore that's where God meets them and works in their life. And that's a lesson we need to remember, is that where people are at in the Christian worlds they're in is exactly where God is going to meet them and work with them and lead them further on the path towards knowing Him and loving Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And whatever they do understand and know is all that they're really responsible for with God. How they respond to that. The relationship that starts with romance and leads to the joining of them, just like it says in Genesis, and that Christ reiterates that the two shall leave their mother and father and join together and become one flesh. And that is the event and the time that is sacred to various degrees, depending on everyone's focus on giving it to God or not and doing it in God's presence. It's a thing that Christ himself honors in the New Testament when he talks about marriage. And this is a moment that we also can connect with people on, the sacred moment of their wedding and marriage. And let's please, fellow Orthodox, just because we've seen and know more, let's share that with love as if we know a beautiful secret and a wardrobe that we know about that they can enter. Let's share that. But let's also not disregard the times and places and special moments in people's lives where they are trying to give it to God and do give it to God. And God honors that as much as anything in the world.
I will love you in the dawning and in the bright noonday. I will love you in the even. Every day I live, my heart I'll give. I'll love you from my grave. I have heard God in your laughter. I have seen him on your face. And it's clear now what he's after, for he wrote your name on my heart in flame. It's a wound I'll not erase. We will mount the wings of morning. We will fly before the wind. We will dwell within the mystery of the glories of Jehovah's love, a circle with no end. We will pitch our tents towards Zion in the shadow of his love. We will covenant between us. We will covenant with the earth below and with heaven up above. We will covenant with the dust below and the spirit up above.
Thank you for joining me today as we approach the wardrobe.
You've been listening to Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Jeff is a former Protestant youth minister and missionary. This podcast is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio on the web at ancientfaith.com.